I very intentionally let our casual conversation become an episode-like topic, which it did. And we were, like, really getting into the meat of it. And you're like, I should probably turn my recorder on.
I know,
like, what?
I know. I apologize.
So now I need to pretend to have this conversation for a second time and somehow make it feel like it's authentic and off the cuff.
No, I totally ruined it. It's funny because that's what my husband was saying when I told him about the podcast and he listened to it. He said, oh, I didn't realize you were recording. I thought you were just having a conversation. And I said, good, that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear that you thought we were recording a podcast because then it sounds too stiff. So I messed up and I was recording this episode and then I thought, oh, we're just talking about stuff this doesn't really matter. It's not an episode. So I stopped recording and then we got into a really interesting discussion about styles and I hadn't been recording and we lost it all. So yeah, go me. Woo.
shall I recap then?
Yeah, go ahead. Give us a recap.
Okay. So this is coming off, the last episode where we were talking about the different sort of collaboration things and the theme of the one where we're building a story and everyone's adapting to one particular house style and how would that work? How would it not work? It would probably need to be a fairly like a small core group of people maybe. And there was the kind of concern that you were raising about how that may be a struggle for a lot of people. And I was kind of surprised to hear it, and it was a weird unintentional self-esteem boost in a way to explain that, because I've mentioned many times on this podcast already that I'm getting back into a lot of personal animation and drawing and design stuff for the first time in a long time. And there's been a lot of struggles and growing pains with that, sort of, you know, like finding my voice again. What is a look? Even how do I want this thing to look? Because I'm very used to adapting to, you know, styles of different shows and productions and things like that. And getting just drawing again is hard. I feel very behind. There's a lot of extremely talented animators and artists just floating around on the internet now. And to ever dream of getting anywhere close to the level of these people is just astonishing. And it will probably never happen, let alone the kind of stuff like drawing with like photorealism or like correct anatomy structure is bonkers. I'm so completely screwed. So it was weird to hear that the idea of having a diversity in style and being to adapt to different looks and shows and sort of just integrate yourself into a thing. Like that's something I guess I've been doing for quite a while. You know, it takes a couple of goes to get right, of course, but I guess I've sort of taken it for granted the past few years. So to hear that there may be quite large sections of the online community that would really struggle with that or even actively not attempt such a thing was quite surprising to hear. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe, you know, behind in some areas, but I don't know, sort of okay with others. What were you saying to that, though?
I mean, and I'll just pose this question to everybody listening, which is that if you draw, if I asked you to draw a title card for a video that looked like it was made by Dr. Seuss, would you be able to do that? Because I'm pretty sure nobody listening commonly practices that art style. Would you be able to go look through his drawings and accurately recreate an original drawing that looks like it was drawn by him? Because when Colin was talking to me about that, I thought just the thought of asking everybody on YouTube to copy whatever style and then make a multi-animator project part in that style, I expect a little bit of resistance, like not as many people participating, because that requires some technical skill. It's not just draw whatever you want, however you want. It's okay, you have to adhere to these guidelines now.
There is a balance though, because like getting it so much to the point where it's seamless and you literally can't tell if it was Dr. Seuss or not, that's another tier above, and I wouldn't really expect that of many people. I certainly couldn't do that.
No, but good enough, right? Good enough that you could just look at it at a glance and be like, oh, that's kind of like Dr. Seuss. That reminds me of Dr. Seuss. You got to get it good enough, not perfect, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. Because like the other thing I was saying before, like Because you're like, oh, you can still tell if it's individual animators doing a thing. It's like, yeah, that's true. And it just needs to be seamless enough that to the casual viewer, it doesn't really matter. And it certainly isn't jarring. And, you know, even now I can only really tell if I know individual animators on that project and I'm familiar with their style. So it sort of sticks out. And even then it's sort of blended together because the amount of different people that touch any given shot is crazy. So it all sort of mashes up. Was that literally the conversation? Like, we started to springboard into it even more, and then we had to go back and recap.
No, we were just talking about art styles in animation. It's like, especially specific art styles. So, for example, and it's weird because myself, I'm a bit of a style chameleon, and I like to play around a lot, and I've been trying different things, so I don't know that you could watch any of my recent animations and know that it was done by me. Maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit. Maybe you could tell by the way they move rather than the way they look.
Actually, that's something I was going to say.
Go ahead.
Should I let you finish your point first?
Okay, let me finish my point. I was going to I just wanted to finish with that there are animators that when you see a short done by them, you know immediately who it is.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, David O'Reilly is a good example of that. He does sort of these weird, new-agey, Adult Swim-type animations, and you always recognize a shot by him. The other one is if you're looking through a big collaboration, like a reanimate collaboration, and you can notice a person's style immediately. You'd be like, oh, you know, that's Psychic Pebbles or whatever.
Sometimes even if they're actively drawing in a different style, you can still tell it's them just from, like, the line weight.
Yeah, or the way it moves. Sometimes, I saw this animation a while ago made by an artist, and a couple days ago, I saw a very old animation, and I know it's made by the same person, even though the art style is different. It's all lineless, this first video they made, but the way the characters move, there's no way it's any other artist, any other animator, but that person.
Have you also ever seen, like, imitations where it's like, this looks like someone else pretending to be this person, but
yeah,
it's
I've not. Seen that. I've seen that too. And sometimes they get it so good that you're actually not sure and you have to look it up.
Well, I saw one recently where, like, visually it was kind of like, hang on, is it? But then the way it moved was completely different. I was like, no, it's not. But I'd be impressed if they didn't reference it. You know, they were definitely using it as inspiration and looking at it, but,
Okay, here's another one for you. Can you tell when someone has been influenced by the person's style so much and, you know, by trying to copy it, that it's sort of become their style too? Like, they haven't explored their own style, so they end up with this, like, it looks like it's hacked. Basically,
rather than having many different, like, mentors and inspirations, you can tell, like, 90% of the thing that, like, I want to be an artist or an animator has just been from one particular idol.
Yeah. Yes. Have you seen those before?
Oh yeah, heaps.
I see a lot of that.
The internet's a big place.
I see a lot of that.
Because it's like, you do like a double take, and you be like, oh, hang on, is that this person? And then you go into it, you're like, no, something's wrong. And then you explore deeper and you're like, no, this is like this other person, their style is consistent with themselves, but it's like almost a bootleg of...
Yes, a bootleg. Bootleg styles. I know exactly
Which
what you
sounds
talking
so
like.
Mean because, like, you know, they are still themselves and they're doing their own thing. And it's, I guess, just an unfortunate side effect of having one primary source. And I'm probably not much better because I've spent so much time now...
Really? I don't know. I mean, maybe if your style is it doesn't look like a bootleg style.
No, I wouldn't really say a bootleg, but every show that I've worked on, I've unintentionally absorbed parts of those house styles and you know, just like particular habits, like the way I'll draw an eyebrow or something is suspiciously like one thing, and then the way I'll draw a hand is suspiciously like this other thing.
So what you're saying is that your animation art style is basically a Cronenberg monster of many different pieces.
Not always. It's just habits that have sort of stuck. After drawing a particular way for 18 months, it doesn't really go away in a heartbeat.
I don't think that's a problem. I think you probably kept the best stuff, too. Like, of everything you've learned, you've kept the best stuff from certain style, and now you've got...
I'd like to hope so, especially when it comes to, like, variety across projects. Like, one that's a bit more anime-influenced and one that's a bit more, like, Nickelodeon-influenced.
Oh, man. Speaking of anime, that's when I started out drawing when I was little. So, when I... At the beginning, all of my art... from, I'd say, around 2007, had these anime eyes. Not anything else anime, just the eyes. So when I started drawing Sin Wolf, the very first comic, she's got these big anime eyes. And it's funny because the style journey of that comic, somehow the eyes, I think I just got so irritated with spending so much time on them. They ended up being very simple and, in my mind, very... reflective of a specific style that is recognizable as my own, where it's just an eyebrow and a circle with a little shine in it and then sometimes some color, but usually not. So it's just a black circle with a white shine in it and an eyebrow.
There's something weirdly delicate about imitating anime styles in Tier and One, where, like, if something's a little bit off, if this, like, mouth or eye is like a millimeter too far to the left, it just looks really weird and gross.
Are you thinking of sometimes if you're watching an anime and it's not, doesn't have a particularly good budget, if you watch their eyes, sometimes the shines, like the white circles, will be in a little bit off and their eyes look like they're crossed or like really weird just because that little bit off.
I was leaning more towards what we see from, like, young artists who have solely been inspired by anime and not at all from, like, real life.
I don't know that I've seen too many of that type of drawing lately. I see a lot of the stuff the young artists send me are animal drawings, and that's all, you know, what you would expect. But they usually don't have anime eyes.
Yeah. It's, anime's, like, another bit of a weird topic, though, because it's... you know, it's like this Darwinism of art where it has this common ancestor. Like, they're all sort of influenced from each other in such a way, but they're... like, I guess they're all somewhat similar. I don't know. I'm going to annoy some people by... like, there's a lot of strong opinions when it comes to anime. But there's a lot of similarities across it.
Oh, sure. I don't think anybody listening is going to have any problem with it. I know in the art world, anime is sort of a topic. I don't know, though. Maybe some of your listeners are more have strong opinions about anime. I mean, on my end, it's usually strong opinions about anime as in being, it's okay. It has a style. It is a type of drawing that exists. There are people who would say that it's not art at all.
Yeah, it's a type that exists. But when we're talking about the thing of how many influences do you have in adapting to your own thing, you know, there is probably less variety overall in regards to the amount of things that have big eyes. It's interesting that those sorts of styles don't need to change very much for it to be considered completely, completely different. Like, this one has one or two extra shines in the eyes. Now it just looks like a different show.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. And not all anime has big eyes. Some of them have the very human-like eyes with, you know...
if the eye is bigger than the entire body, then I start to feel a bit, maybe you're pushing the boundaries a bit.
Well, that's like chibi art style, where they have big heads and tiny little bodies.
Yeah, it's very subjective. But I feel like, I don't know, maybe that's just my opinion, where it's like, something seems a bit off with your universe if it's possible to trip over and fall, like have your entire body fall into someone's pupil.
I don't think I've seen anything that extreme, but I have seen a diagram where it shows the anime eye and how big the eyeball would have to actually be inside the skull for that to make sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love doing that.
Those are great. I love that diagram. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I did a film once that was for a toy, like a doll type thing. And that's, you know, it's the kind of toy that has massive head, massive eyes, very thin body. And I was like, the anatomy, of, like the character rigs were interesting enough, but like, okay, the anatomy of this thing would be the best. So I rebuilt the character rig to be a skeleton version.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
And it was the best. It was a lot of fun, sort of like, I don't know, just making it work and having its little teeth going ngang, ngang, ngang.
Well, yeah, that's like...
they have a tiny little mouth. So I was like, so it would have cheekbones for days and then this tiny little lower jaw nestled in the middle and it would hinge like this.
It's like the question of, does a centaur have two hearts? You know, how does that work? Is the heart in the horse body or in the man body? Or like what?
Whoa. Where?
Yeah. If you look too deep into the cartoon stuff, it gets confusing. Like even normal American cartoons, the size of some of their eyeballs, especially the ones that come off the head. You know what I'm talking about? Like the big oval ones.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, cartoon stuff, you can mess with the anatomy a lot. I feel like in the universe where there's the centaurs that have human hearts and the centaurs that have horse hearts, they end up in some sort of race war.
Oh, that's interesting.
There's a story. Oh. Someone write that.
So what else is there to say about style?
Adapting to style, though?
Adapting to style? I don't know. That's...
I think it's a healthy habit. Because, like, I know that, like, when joining other things or recruiting people, it is one of the trickiest parts is getting a large number of people to all draw and animate exactly the same as each other or as close as possible to. However, at the same time, so before... finish that thought. During that process, you often do find the people that fall into different roles because, you know, some might have more of a strength at drawing just the expressions in that style, but they might struggle with body movement. So then they'll fall more in, you know, sometimes there'll be like full-time lip syncing people because they know how to get the right emotions out better. And other people are I'm stuck at lip syncing. Can you do that for me? And I'll do all your hands, that kind of stuff.
I find it interesting because I worked on a project called Ponies the Anthology, which is not animation-based. It's all editing-based. But it's the same thing where there are certain video editors who were really good at doing lip sync. And so what would happen is sometimes we'd have to collaborate with each other. And so one person would find the shots that matched up with the lip sync. And the other person would, you know, cut together some different stuff, or they'd find shots and the other person would go through and change the timing so that it would lip sync better. But same thing. Yeah.
Video editing lip sync. So what do you mean by that?
Okay. So in animation, you know, you have to draw the lip sync or choose the mouths. So in video editing, you're trying to match up what the footage is saying to whatever the recorded audio is.
Whoa, so you're just, rather than just moving the mouth asset, you're chopping up the entire frames at a time.
It's reverse engineering, right? So some editors have the skills to be able to pick out the right mouth shapes and even maybe mask them out and put them where they belong.
Man, you'd only be able to do that on very particular types of shows, like only that mouth is moving and everything else is still.
Oh, well, I mean, that's the thing is that, yeah, you can do that. And some video editors are better at it than others, like hunting down those shots.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to do it if they're walking or gesturing at the same time, right?
Yeah, like, you can.
Their head's moving all over
the
place.
Yeah, you can with motion tracking and things like that.
Okay, so you're cropping out of mouth and doing all that.
Yeah. Whew. Since I'm an animator, usually I would just go and draw the new mouths over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you don't have that skill, then you have to go and find the material to replace stuff with.
Like if it's like a finished episode, yeah, and it's all baked together, I guess you got a little choice. Yeah, I think I've seen things like that, because normally dubbed shows just sort of deal with what's on screen. Is it becoming a more common practice now to actually re-engineer the episode to have the timing and the whatever's...
Oh, gee, I don't know about that. This is just for a community collaboration. You take existing footage and mash it up into whatever you wanted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I've seen it more in online pieces than actual shows.
Yeah, actual shows, they either don't care about the dub and they just dub over it. It doesn't matter if it matches the mouth, which usually means that I watch it in the native language because I cannot stand, it's a pet peeve of mine, if the mouth shapes don't match up to the vocals. I would much prefer listening it to it in the original language if the dubbing is bad.
Is that, but does... like anime, for example, get away with it because it has flappy mouths most of the time?
Yeah, anime gets away with it because their mouths often aren't that articulate. But if you have a, for example, certain movies on Netflix, like 3D animated movie, or certain 2D cartoons with very articulate mouths with unique shapes and stuff. Like there's a movie called Ernest and Celestine. I had to watch that in French. I could not.
Right.
The English version, the dub, the quality of the dub was fine, but it wasn't matching the mouths. Anyway, that's just a particular peeve that I have. Like, it's got to match up or it distracts me from enjoying the movie.
Do you think that's one reason why a lot of anime does do the flappy mouths, because of exports? Or is it just because it's so culturally accepted now? No, it doesn't really matter. And it's a lot cheaper.
I'm sure it's because it's cheap. But the fact that you can dub over it so easy is an added bonus.
That's true, because I guess dubs didn't really become a proper thing until like the 90s. Anime had been around for like 30, 40 years already.
Yeah, yeah.
I worry about getting too deep into those topics because I'm not that experienced with anime stuff.
I mean, I'm fine talking about it, but...
Oh, I'm cool talking about it, but I worry about treading on the toes of people who really know what they're talking about.
Well, then we'd never be able to open our mouths ever at all. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right. I'll deal. Okay, no, I think that's... We're good on that one. Man, we need to work on our outros. It's just kind of like, oh, it's about time.
Oh, yeah. We need a better outro, because I was listening back to the episodes and it's like sometimes they just kind of end and everybody goes,
just
wait.
Just ends so abruptly.
Where's the end of the episode? So, yeah, we should get better at, at least saying something.
Well, between you and me, we're kind of just like, okay, well, we've reached an end point of that topic. So we'll just sort of close it off. But I guess it's a bit abrupt to... anyone else?
So thanks for tuning in to Animoot, and join us for the next episode. Not sure what it will be yet. It'll be a surprise.